Social impact everywhere.
Welcome back, my fellow social impactors, to another episode of the Social Impactors Podcast. And we have another guest for you today. We have Jaz Takkar. Now, he is the founder of the number one real estate team in Canada for Royal LePage. Jaz and his team do 700 transactions a year and have done over $1.5 billion in real estate transactions. And what we're going to be talking about today is how real estate and social impact can meld together and how they are both really important in building sustainable change in the world. So Jaz, I want to first start this podcast off by saying a big thank you for being with me here today.
Thanks for having me, Avery. I really appreciate it, my man.
Yeah, so let's jump into the first question. First question is explaining a little bit more about who you are, who Jaz is, why you do what you do, and why you truly believe you're a social impactor in the world.
Yeah, so I, from the very young age of 12, 13 years old, I got my first paper out, and I learned really quickly that I can start brokering my route to friends and making a little cut from what they do. I loved school, but wasn't really a big fan of class. And I've come to learn that it was just not the way that I like to learn. And it wasn't easy for me. So sitting in math class and science class, I just found it tough. But what I did like is meeting people. I like making people smile. I like making people laugh. I also like working because I come from a family of, my parents are immigrants from India. They came here around 1973. My father was a taxi driver his whole life. My mother was a factory worker. I have two older brothers, which is, for anybody who has older siblings in general, knows that it's a healthy reminder, Avery, that you're closer to the bottom than you are to the top. And so they always kind of kept me in line. But I knew that I was going to be doing something where I was going to hopefully in my life, A, influence and impact people. But as I started to grow up and grow older, I knew I was not going to be someone who sat in class my whole life. It was going to be in the people business, serving people, helping people hopefully reach their potential. And I just been in sales and service for the last 25 years. 15 years ago, to be exact, I got into real estate, because I wanted to invest myself because I knew that that was a way to create wealth. But because I had a sales and service background, I started to grow a company, and it was myself and my partner at that time. And then my current partner joined us as well. So there was three of us in total. That happened about 10, 11 years ago. We started to grow out a team. And I'm proud to say, and as you mentioned, and thank you so much for the kind words in your introduction, we're now at 33 realtors, 10 support staff. We help a little over 700 buyers, sellers, and investors every year with real estate purchases, selling their homes and condos. And more importantly, what I really focus on is helping people create wealth through investment portfolios, like building up their investment portfolio. And I'm proud to say last year in 2019, we were awarded the number one team right across the country for Royal LePage, which is Canada's largest real estate franchise. And so I think it's a little over 21,000 realtors, our team was number one. And I'm very, very proud of the 33 realtors, as well as the 10 support staff, which consist of a couple of admin people, directors of sales and marketing, director of real estate concierge services, and then my media squad. I call them the REC squad. Videographer, full-time videographer, part-time videographer, full-time copywriter, full-time cartoonist, graphic designer. And it's been something that's been a massive, massive win for us, meaning that we lead through education, and in the hopes of people who watch our content, listen to our content, read our content, end up doing business with us.
So I can imagine that you're a big believer in finances or money being a driver for social change in the world. And I mean, I am as well, but explain a little bit about why you believe, you know, money can be a way to change lives, why you want to, you know, bring people into this real estate world. What is it to you? Why is that important?
Well, look, I mean, money will not buy you happiness. I want to start there, but it is definitely a way to give you freedom right now, because A, who knows if, you know, especially in Canada, where if you like it, when we all turn 65, 66 years old, what's going to be in our Canadian pension plans? I don't think, especially after what we've just been going through and the amount of money that's been printed, that there's going to be anything left in our pension plans. And so a lot of people are retiring. A lot of people are working in the hopes of just retiring, and everyone's looking forward to being 65 years old so they can get this pension that's not, might not even be around. And so it has to be on us individually to protect ourselves and create. Look, you don't need to have 100 investment properties or 1,000 doors. And I have friends and families and clients that have that. But even if you just invested in one income property, you will be able to protect yourself a lot better than if you didn't have anything. So again, I really want to make sure that people understand that my point of view on this is not that money buys happiness, but man, does it give you some freedom? It gives you a little bit, it allows you to live your life, hopefully, in a way that will make you happy, but then it also gives you the opportunity to give back, right? Like, we all know people who want to hoard their cash, and that's up to them. They you know, they made it and they made that money and they can do whatever they want with it. But in my opinion, what brings me the most happiness is when I can help someone earn money for themselves, because then, you know, it's the old adage, right, Avery, that instead of me fishing for you, I'm gonna teach you how to fish so you can feed yourself for forever.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I agree. I really agree with that, because the education is the most important part of showing people how they can build a social impact in the world. But I want to kind of ask the second question, because I think this is a really good correlation to the first one. You've talked about, you know, why it's important and kind of a little bit about what you're doing, but how are you making a positive impact in your community? How are you doing it?
Yeah, so look, I want to grow my team out right now. There's a total of us of 43, and the hope is that 12 months to 24 months from now will be to 75, and then from 75 we'll get to 100, and just watch it keep on growing. Because the team around me, I build a, in my opinion, and I think if you ask the team, they'll tell you the same things, that the culture is very positive. And so I think that I'm bringing an impact from a social perspective, that I want people to understand that they can do a lot more. They can achieve a lot more by essentially getting out of their own way. Like, I'm in the process of writing a book right now that hopefully will be done in the next 10 to 14 months. And so the name of that book is called Removing Friction, with the subtitle Getting Out of Your Own Way. And so if I can inspire people to get out of their own way, like, we doubt ourselves. We have a lot of noise that comes internally, externally and internally, between, you know, the 6 inches between the ears, so to speak. And if we can get out of our own way and realize that it's okay to fail. It's just a matter. It's not how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you get back up again, that you can essentially accomplish whatever you want. Now, that might be earning millions upon millions of dollars and billions of dollars, or that might just mean, like, what I'm doing right now. I'm enjoying the process. I'm in the journey. I have no destination. Like, it's not like there's an end game for me. It's all the journey. I like the fact that there's ups and downs. It tells me that I'm alive, because once that line goes flat and it's just a beep, a flat sound, we know what, you know that you're not alive anymore. And if I can, again, help people get out of their own way, that's how I'm going to bring impact. I'm just going to do it one person at a time, who's ever around me.
Yeah. So I'm curious to know how you started. right? You're talking about growing your team, and I think it's incredible that you want to get to 100 people. Like, that is an astounding number, and you're going to change people's lives, you know, socioeconomically, probably quite drastically. But where did you start, and why is it important for you to build this out and bring like-minded people?
Well, I started, as I mentioned, I mean, I'm born and raised in the north part of the city, north part of Toronto, in an area called Rexdale that gets a bad rap. Told by the teachers that there's something wrong with this kid. Luckily, my parents were very busy, right? As immigrant parents generally are, like, they're just trying to scratch and claw to make sure that they have enough for the rent and the food. And so they never really, you know, my father never reprimanded me because I was getting bad grades. He was like, son, just try harder, you know, do the best that you possibly can. As I mentioned, I have two older brothers. One of my brothers is a university graduate, and the middle brother, similar to me, like, we just, class wasn't our thing. And so, I'm born and raised in Rexdale, as you're told a lot that you can't reach your potential, or there's something wrong with you, like, you need to take pills, or you have ADD, and I know that stuff is real. It's just that it wasn't me. That wasn't who I was. It was just because I was in the wrong setting. I wasn't learning like that, because as I got to that age group of 19, 20 is when I first was introduced to audiobooks, books, in the personal development section of the bookstore, and seminars and workshops. And as I started to read and consume and execute on some of the teachings, and that's when I realized, oh, I do like to learn, but I like to learn about myself. I like to learn about how the brain works. And this is something that's exciting. In fact, it kept me up late at night. It got me up really early in the morning. Then that's when you know, it was almost I call it the deadly combination. Once you find passion and something that you actually believe that you're good at, and I knew I was good with speaking with people and interacting with people and influencing people, I knew that I kind of had that deadly combination now, because I was also very passionate, kept me up late at night, got me up early in the morning. I just put hours upon hours in it. So, you know, there's a study that if you spend 10,000 hours at something, you're very close to mastery at it. That's 10,000 hours. I think my team calculated this not too long ago. I think I'm at like 21,000 hours or something in the sales and service industry, you know, in the sales and service business. And so that's when I started to realize, okay, this is my skill. I'm very passionate. I'm going to go all in. Like, I don't know if you play poker, but anybody who's listening right now, if you play poker, and when you got that pocket aces and or that big slick, that ace and king in your hand, and you feel everyone else around you just doesn't have the hand, that's when you push all those chips in. And that was me about, I'm going to say about 10 years ago. And I realized that, you know, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to bring the people around me to do it, because by necessity, I needed to delegate, right? Because I don't have a lot of skills. Like, I can't hang a picture on the wall. I can't write an email. It just takes a lot of bandwidth in my brain to write long form emails. Putting up a picture on the wall, I mean, I'll bust somebody's wall open, right? But I had a skill in kind of feeling out my team, you know, like on a daily basis. I could have my director of real estate concierge services, Tyler, walk into the office, and I kind of know what the next hour is going to be like what kind of night he had the night before, like something's up, or he's very positive, which he's positive 98% of the time, but he's a human where he's going to have some bad evenings. My director of sales and marketing, Laura Stewart, walks in. I know she's just not herself. I also know what makes them tick. With Tyler, I got to give a little bit of time off. With Laura, I got to probably feed her. You know what I mean? She's a foodie. She likes food. And so that makes her happy. But I have that ability, that uncanny ability to kind of just know what the core people around me, to know how they're feeling and then reverse engineer that. Am I right all the time? Obviously not. But that's kind of how it all started for me, man. And I know I kind of jumped back and forth, but it all started for me at a very young age, knowing that I was self-aware. I was self-aware, knowing what I was good at and what I wasn't good at.
So for people listening today, then, what would your advice be for others to start building their own social impact in the world? Or let's talk about a general lens. How can people build their own impact in the world? What would that advice be?
Well, I think you start off with being self-aware. Like, what do you like to do? You know, what do you like to do? What would you do all day long if money wasn't the way that we trade, if money wasn't the currency that we traded in? Okay, I mean, there was a time that we didn't trade in money; we traded in cows. You know, but if you ask yourself the question, what would I do all day long for free? Do that. Start there, and by doing that, you're going to be happy. And by being happy, you're going to make the biggest impact that you possibly will. Like, even if you compare to somebody else who makes a financial, like somebody like a Warren Buffett who to charity gives billions of dollars. That's great and that's awesome, but not all of us have the ability to do that. But I think majority of us have the ability to be happy. And when we're happy, what I like to say is, a smile's infectious too. There's a virus that's going around, depending on the time of this recording, that was happening and has shut down the world. But there's also positive viruses as well, like a smile. Opening the door for somebody and saying hi and them smiling, 98% of the time, they're going to smile back at you. And now for that moment, you had a social impact. You had an impact on somebody else's life. You know, and so if you can be happy starting off internally, it will show up externally. And then we'll start to get to a place, in my opinion, we'll start to get to a place where if people are just happier with what they have, you know, we spend a lot of time comparing ourselves to others. There will always be people who have more than you. There will always be people who have less than you. If you're happy with what you have, you'll start to make a real, real impact socially in this world.
Yeah, and I find where it comes from is real gratitude, right? There is a superficial or a very high level gratitude that you can do, but when you are just grateful for breath, when you are grateful just to be alive, I find that things become, you become more aware of how much wealth you actually have in this life, right?
Yeah, look, and if you start your day off with being grateful, you'll just attract more things to be grateful about. And so some would say, well, I got nothing to be grateful about. Well, I understand maybe on the surface you don't. Let's look a little bit deeper. And maybe it comes down to going right to the basic necessity, as you mentioned, Avery. Well, you're breathing. I can tell you some people that lost their last breath last night. We, like, every single night it happens, every single morning it happens, every single minute somebody lost their, just that's it, they're done, they've passed away. And so if you might need to start there, right? And but you need to train your brain. It's actually the most underutilized muscle in our body is the brain. In fact, scientists have only figured out 10% or 12% of its capability. Right. And so you need to train the muscle because it's a muscle like any other muscle in your body. And so starting your day with being grateful is probably the number one way to start, because here's the thing, like attracts like. And so if you start your morning with being grateful, you will attract more things to be grateful about.
That's powerful.
I've thought about it a few times, you know what yeah. I mean? Like that's where I live in that, you know, and sometimes don't get me wrong, man. I gotta go to the basics. I call it going back to basics. And that could be mean from a sales perspective or like I produce a lot of content. And so sometimes it's just a content perspective, But what I'm in this context, it's yeah, like I got to go back to the basics and say, okay, I know things are wild right now. Things are going crazy. But man, am I just happy of breathing? I smile. Look, you know, my team laughs at me all the time, just as kind of a joke. Like I kiss myself all the time, Avery. Why? Because when do I feel good about myself? Well, when somebody gives me a hug and holds me tight and kisses me. Well, if I ever want that, I just got to do that to myself.
That's awesome.
And what's wrong?
Yeah, it's true.
You know what I'm saying? And what's wrong with that? Telling yourself, yeah, I mean, you better wake up in the morning and say, Jazz, I love you. You go through a lot of stuff. And you know what? And I know you try because look, your intent is good. It doesn't show all the time, though. And that's okay. And tomorrow's a new day. Or today is a new day. I'm not trying to be all philosophical, Avery, but like I start my day telling myself that I love myself. I got to fill up my cup first. People want to be selfless. You got to be selfish first, because how can you give what you don't have?
Yeah.
If my cup of water is not full, I need it to be overflowing for me to fill your cup up. So I start my day with being in love with myself. Somebody might call, listen to this and say, you're narcissistic. No, I'm not. I'm not talking about like being manipulating or trying to manipulate people. That's not my intent. I know myself. That's not my intent. My intent is to start my day, remind myself I love myself, and then I could give. I could give to my family. You know, my internal family, my external family. And then I come here to my office and I got to give to my family here, because I know how much they give to me. And so I got to give that as well. But it's only going to start if I start my day and start the vibrations, because we're all just a ball of energy. If I start my vibrations in a positive manner, I will attract it. I implore anyone who's listening to try it for the next 30 days nonstop. Wake up in the morning and please call me on it after 30 days if that you didn't start to get into the way of opportunity more. Because opportunity is everywhere. You never have to look for opportunity. It's everywhere. You have to get in the way of it. And you get in the way of it by putting yourself, like by asking yourself questions. And so I've always understood that what I have today at this moment, it's not based on what I thought about today necessarily. It's based on what I thought about 30 days ago, 60 days ago, a year ago. The bigger things are years ago and the smaller things are maybe hours ago. Because your thoughts, they become your feelings. Your feelings start to send out those vibrations. They become your actions. And then that's the results you're going to get.
So, Jazz, I want to end the podcast there, because that is such a powerful statement. You are what you think, right? And then you act on that feeling. But, man, that is powerful. So I want to just end this podcast by saying, you know, again, a big thank you for being with me here today. You bring a very unique lens. You've always obviously created immense success, but you've not lost sight of what's important. And so for that, I just want to again say thank you for being with me here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Avery. Thank you for putting out such positive content, because we need more voices out there now more than ever. To name your podcast the name that you have. I mean, you are making an impact yourself. And days that you might be hard on yourself, remind yourself that even if one person takes action based on the content that you're bringing, you made an impact. And so thank you for what you do.